I want to thank our sponsor, Abbey Connect. Impress callers, save time, and grow your business with a dedicated receptionist team from Abbey Connect. Visit abbeyconnect.com/MikeM for more information. That's abbeyconnect.com/MikeM.
Do you know who Mr. Ed is, Jared Bone?
Yeah, the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wagga wagga.
Wagga wagga. Oh, my God. All right. Hey, let's get started with our show here.
So,
my friends. All right, folks. Here we go. I'm going to read from the script, actually. All right, folks. I hope you are ready because it is time for us to get all up in your business, just like Mr. Ed. In this episode, we're going to discuss how small business, actually our business, is responding to the pandemic, how we've modified our operations, and some tips that you can take away. Our guest is our president, Kelsey Ayres.
Oh, is it?
Starting right now.
Hello, friends.
All right, everyone. My name is Mike McCallitz. I'm an author on a mission to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. And what that means is we're going to get your business strong and healthy in this economy and any economy. Plus, we're going to have some fun doing it. Like, why have a miserable existence in growing a business? Why not have a joyful experience? That's our goal. And we'll achieve both. So welcome to our show. I also want to welcome our co-host guest folks. Amy Cartelli is one of them. Hey, Amy.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Hello, guest folk.
Broadcasting from a basement. I see Jer Bone.
Yeah, guest folk. What's up?
Guest host. And then we have our guest, who's also president of our company, Kelsey Ayres. Welcome, Kelsey.
Hello, friend. Thank you so much.
And hey, if you're not subscribed yet, definitely subscribe to All Up In Your Business so you don't miss a single episode. And let's get right down to business. So just to give you a little context, Kelsey came on to our organization years back as a personal assistant, took on a job where most people would not take the job parameters. It said, opportunity to work for author guy. Like, who wants to work for an author? Secondly, it said, the commute is monstrous. You'll have to drive 50 minutes or more each morning and night. And the pay is miserable. Who wants in? And
I was like, yes, that's my jam. That's my jam.
So why would you say yes to that insanity, Kels?
Well, I will say I was very intentional about my time. I had started a business making jewelry, and I reached a peak where I felt like I couldn't scale it and it wasn't bringing me joy anymore. But I didn't want to give up on it because I loved it. I loved the concept of it. So I thought, well, maybe if I have some supplemental income, it will help alleviate some of that stress, and then maybe it'll bring me some more joy. But I didn't want just any job. So I had been looking for a while, and I came across an ad on Craigslist that was to work for this author guy who I did not know, but he was a business author. So then when I looked him up and I listened to the podcast, and I was like, well, that's perfect. He is an author for business books, and I need help in my business, and I want some extra income. And it was only $10 an hour, and it was over an hour from my house. So I was like, might be kind of a wash for income, but at least I'll learn something. I treated it like an internship. It was an opportunity to learn and to get to know you a little bit better. So I thought it was a win-win.
Well, it may be a small win for you, a massive win for us. I mean, it was you rolled the dice, and what we found in Kelsey, as everyone here knows, Jeremy and Amy, is someone who is a leader through kindness and empathy, but is driven and focused on supporting our community of customers and our community of colleagues in a way I've never seen performed. In fact, I was speaking with Kelsey just a few days ago, and I'm like, this situation we're going through, the pandemic, is what Kelsey was born for, in my selfish opinion, in that she's sustaining the cohesiveness of this organization while pivoting, as much as I don't like some of that term, but pivoting us to new products and new offerings, and sustaining. And actually, it looks like we're going to hit an upward trajectory now as we just finish our launch on revenue and profitability, and in such an integral way. It's something you don't see often. So Kelsey, you were with me as a personal assistant, and then you became my boss now a year ago or so. You became president.
October. I feel like there was a very sort of ambiguous transition into it. It just kind of flowed as we grew, then we acquired a team, and it just sort of naturally happened. So yeah.
So yeah, so Kelsey runs the show here. And one thing we'll have to do, that's not the intention of this episode, but in the future, how do you manage an owner? Because it ain't easy. And I actually throw in these little grenades, not they're happy grenades, but then they kind of blow up on people.
I love that you put it like that. That is exactly what it's called. Yeah, happy grenades.
Happy grenades.
Here you're like, okay, we can do it. We can handle it. It's fine.
Catch.
Yeah. So I cause a lot of consternation to the company unintentionally with the best intentions. So
yeah,
I think
we'll have to
dedicate an episode. But what this episode is really dedicated to navigating the pandemic. And I think before we ask Kelsey how, what, where, when, I'm really curious about J-Bone and Amy, your perspective. So J-Bone, why don't you start us out? What's changed for you with our business now that the pandemic's in place, and what hasn't changed?
Well, I was pretty much working a large percentage remotely anyway, but it's just been amped up from that standpoint. Trying to keep my cats from fighting on Zoom calls has been a problem.
You think kids are a problem? You should get cats.
Yeah. But like, I talked to Kelsey last week, and it was like three fights they got into, like in like a 10-minute phone call. I'm like yelling, stop, what are you doing? Like trying to get them to stop.
He's like, come on, guys, you're killing me.
Yeah. You say that really, that's awesome.
Yeah, like chewing on stuff. So I think dealing with, you know, distractions that you wouldn't normally have to deal with if you're in the office, that's been a challenge. But on a positive note, I think it's really amazing how everybody, at least on our group, has come together and worked through this. And, you know, I think this it's actually been really awesome to see how well we're able to transition into this.
Yeah. One thing I want to note too is, you know, you came out into this organization from a different and a varied background experience and moved into social media and stuff like that. And the transition's never smooth or bumpy, but you've been amplifying and amplifying and had hard conversations with Kelsey, but have navigated through that. What's your perception of that from the employee reporting back to the boss on navigating, you know, areas for improvement, stuff like that? And you responded so well. So I'm just curious.
Well, obviously I care about you guys. I love you guys. Yeah. And I've known you for a long time, Mike. So it means a lot for me to do a good job and do right by you, you know? Mm. But also I think, it's a testament to, you know, Kelsey, how well, she can communicate and then kind of look at the big picture and then, you know, focus on, okay, what little steps we have to take to get there. And so I think that's like been very helpful, in terms of navigating through everything.
Good. Okay. Thank you. So that's me a topic, the essence of communication. I want to learn that. Okay, Amy, what's your experience now? Pre-pandemic, post-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic. I mean, it's had its challenges, especially with, you know, trying to get books out and things like that, as that's being part of my job. I mean, obviously with the podcast stuff, that's a little easier. We can navigate this. It's a little rough, but we can navigate this doing this virtually. But, you know, the physical jobs of moving books to people and things like that, it's been compromised. The postal system's been compromised, and it's difficult to get things to you, Mike, because you're only one guy in the building. You can't get up to for a delivery or things like that. So, but we're finding our way, and it's been challenging, but it's, I think what's really come through is our connection with our people, which has been reinforced necessarily, because you just need to keep communicating. Well, this is where we're at. This is how things are happening now. And on top of that, we've been doing this book launch. So there have been all these other extra jobs and all these other extra rollouts and things and projects to do. And again, we come back to just, you know, communicating with our customer. And thankfully, we have the telecommunications in place to do just that. And
yeah.
It's going well.
Okay. So, Kels, how the F do you do this? Like, Jeremy points to communication. Amy said that thing too. How do you manage the communication in a small business like ours, particularly now?
Yeah. So for me, it's like really just wanting to make sure everybody is supported and feels okay, like in every sense, feels like they understand what they're doing, feels like they know what we're doing as a company. And so that was just kind of amping up one-on-one time, more intentional one-on-one time. So scheduling one-on-one meetings, letting our huddles be a little bit more extended, and a little bit more personal so that there was that personal connection that we had. And that was my biggest change in terms of management, I guess, is just making sure the communication was very intentional and making sure that when I communicate for things outside of those times that it's, you know, clear and confirmed.
Okay. And so then in Jeremy, Amy was talking about connection. So the connection in the traditional sense has shifted. You know, we can't see each other. We can't spend time together. What are the tools and strategies you have for connection in this new environment?
I'm sorry. Were you talking to me, Mike?
No, I was talking to Kels. Did you get that?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you say it again? Sorry.
Oh yeah. Just connection. How do you facilitate connection in this new environment? Amy was talking about connection. So I'm just curious how you're facilitating it.
So a couple things, I think bringing fun into it. So making sure that like when we have a quarterly meeting, it's not just about business. It is also about having games and dressing up and making sure that the whole person is able to talk and speak and, has a way to communicate. We also have a weekly like office climate poll. So we get a sense of people's mental health, physical health, spiritual health, relationship health. So it gives me an understanding of where people are at in their headspace and if there's a way that I can support people better or just have more compassion for where they are and give them a little bit more leeway. Those are the major ways, the more different than we've been doing previously.
But Kels, you lead us in a way that is still very strong. I don't even know if that's the right word. And what I'm trying to get to, and Amy and Jay Cablone, a few better words, is there's compassion and understanding and empathy, but there's also no nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amy, do you feel that?
Like her business brain is still so clear and so strong.
Right.
But that never translates to like, this is business. This is what we have to, there's no, like, there's none of that.
But we get shit done.
Like we get shit done.
It's big stuff.
Going.
But Kelsey keeps us moving forward. It's like we gotta get stuff done, but you're right. It's not authoritative. It's not never.
It's always, I think Kelsey has totally mastered. And as you have too, Mike, it's, we're a team. None of this is just one person. The way, tasks are relayed to us is really like, this is what we need help with. It's never, I've never been given a task or given a project and been like, go with it. You know, it's always like, what do you need from me? Here's what I'd like you to try and attempt to get done. This is what I have for you. Please come back to me as many times as you need to, you know, to move forward with this. I'm never left alone to just sit there and drown in trying to figure something out on my own, which is reflected in the office climate survey we all take, because we can say what our support is. I mean, and I've never put anything but a 10 down for that, because I can always, you know, box you, Jeremy, Kelsey, Lisa, Jennifer, for any information. It's such a phenomenal team you guys have built.
So Kelsey, you know, there's a fine line, I presume, between micromanagement and support.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I'm always kind of acutely aware of it, because, for me, like, I want to empower the team as much as possible. I think they're all incredible. And part of my role is, I think, helping them kind of overcome their own personal limitations and making sure that they understand that I trust them and I have complete faith that they're capable of doing the job. But on the flip side, I know that it can be anxiety inducing and inhibitive in its own right when you feel like you're just kind of like thrown out to swim and trying to make it on your own. So I think there's that like fine balance where I don't want to just tell you what to do so you become this task rabbit, but I also don't want you to feel unsupported. And I feel like a lot of times I might get that wrong. So it's very lovely for you to say that, Amy. but I think it's for me, it's just like always keeping that, communicate as gently, as gracefully as possible, and understand that I'm always here for you guys, but I also have faith in you to do the job.
So you're president of a small business. There's six of us collectively, so which is probably, not probably, it is way different than a business with 1,000 employees. So you're involved in day-to-day management. How do you keep us on course and getting the results that you envision for the business?
Sure. So I look at our revenue all the time. I look at the, you know, I'm in our bank accounts all the time, essentially. And I'm always kind of looking to project where money is coming from and how can we create more revenue streams, or, you know, I just want us to be as secure and as comfortable as a team as possible. Like I want us to have flexibility to try new things, to personally support our own lifestyles the way that we want to. So for me, it's always, you know, this drive to really create more and to be secure. So it's really just looking at the numbers and then how can we drive that up in a way that is integral to who we are and why we're doing it.
Do you get feedback from Amy and Jeremy and Jenna and Lisa and Liz on here's what we need from you or how you could serve us better or maybe a blind spot that you have, or now that you're in this capacity, people don't want to speak as candidly?
I don't know. I don't get a ton of feedback like that. So
well, you're fucking up this whole process right now. This is the worst interview of my life. Just want you to know.
That was probably the most
very much not feel.
What was that, J Bone?
That was probably the most on the spot question anybody was ever asked in the history of questions.
I don't know. Do you guys feel comfortable telling me I'm doing a bad job?
God, I've never even had to broach it. Like I've never even had. Kelsey has always anticipated what the next communication barrier could be, and she's already like paved this very smooth, beautiful path that we're going to take down.
But if I like mess you up, or if I like, you know, didn't speak kindly to you or whatever, would you feel
I could talk to
like
you
have agency to say,
oh yeah,
hey, I don't think you handled that well, or you know?
Yes, absolutely. But like I said, it literally has never ever presented itself.
Yes, Kissy. Just so everyone knows, Amy's up for a review next week.
Go ahead.
If I can add something, like when you were talking about communication, yeah. I think Kelsey has mastered the walking the line between, like you said, kindness but direct communication, like being firm. And when I think of when she's trying to point everybody in a direction, it's okay, here's what we need. How do we get there? And then that's pretty much like, I could be wrong. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong, Kelsey.
Yeah, no, that's it. And I want it to be a team activity. So like, I don't want it to be me just like, okay, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I want it to be sort of like, okay, this is what I envision for us. How do we make it happen as a team so that everybody feels like they have a voice here?
You know, one question I get regularly, Kelsey, is how to get employees to act like owners. So this is a business owner. And I say, you know, my employees don't get it or are as committed as I am to the business. Yet I would argue everyone on this podcast, Jenna, Lisa, and Liz, who are not here, are all devoted to this business to the same level as I am, even though I'm the owner guy. What instills it? How's that even possible?
I mean, I think it's part of it is the hiring process. So who are you hiring? And for me, I like to hire people based on kind of behaviors and personality as opposed to skill set, because I feel like I can train in the skill set so far, thus far, I can pretty much train you in the skill set, but it's more about who you are as a person and how responsible you are is first and foremost for me, how kind you are, like, are you invested in the well-being of this company? Are you well invested in the well-being of the people that we're serving? Because if everybody isn't invested in that, then there's a lack, there's a a broach in our integrity to a degree, you know? And so I think that's first and foremost. And I think after that, it kind of falls into place in the way that we do communicate to the team, and hopefully empowering folks as much as I possibly can.
Interesting. It's really been a fascinating journey. And what do you see before we start wrapping up here, how do you see the future in your role changing? What you do today versus what's coming down the road that you envision, are you going to change? And if so, how or why or what?
That's a great question. I hope that I do change in that I can really remove myself a little bit more from the doing, and so that people are feeling empowered to start projects on their own without me kind of facilitating the project and handing it off. But so that, you know, we have these kind of teams who can really embrace and grow a project, and I'm just, you know, overseeing it or giving them the go ahead. But ultimately, the genius is coming from all of them.
Kelsey, thank you. The president of the Mike Michalowicz Brands, Obsidian Launches, our shell organization is the name of it. But Kelsey, thanks for joining us today and stay with us.
Thank you for having me. This has been a very new experience for me. What is this podcast called again?
We have no idea. We can't help in your business. So we are going to recap what we learned from Kelsey. We're going to talk about her as she listens in. And tell us, too, if you like this, that we share insights on what's going on with our team here, and you want more of this stuff, email me at askmike@mikemichalowicz. Ask us the questions you have for Kelsey or for Amy or Jeremy or for any of our team members here. We want to serve you. Okay.
I got a question for you, Mike.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest transition for you?
Probably the hardest transition for me so far is not transitioning, meaning getting stuck in this compulsion to still just do without checking with Kelsey and making sure it's in alignment. That's the happy grenades I'm throwing in. Because to me, in the moment, it feels like, oh, this is something that can be done in, and there's a logical amount of time I associate with, oh, this can be done in 10 seconds, and this will be such a game changer. I don't want to distract anyone. Let's just go, go, go. But the 10-second things take more like 10 hours or 10 days, and then I throw so many out there, it becomes disorienting. So that's really tough. It's really tough for me. And we're trying certain things, like just using Monday, but I break the rule and cause the problems again. We have this mad lab going. I'm trying to just, when I have an idea, try to walk in there. But so there's just these easy outlets for me just to drop a happy grenade. So that's my challenge. That's my challenge.
That guy's going to get fired.
Are you fired? Would that be amazing? Finally get some stuff done around here. So we're going to recap what we learned in just a second. And then we have a game, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So, Aim, what'd you learn from hearing from Kels?
I learned that, I don't know if I just learned this today, but it was definitely something we revisited, and I love revisiting this, is that Kelsey hires on personality and behaviors more than skill set, which is huge because, let's be honest, if Kelsey had hired on skill set for me, I would not be working here. But I do feel that culturally, I am a really good fit.
Yeah,
and I know that Kelsey has trained and taught me so much in the very short time. Not so short time actually now, but in so many different areas. So I do really see how well that serves the company too, because the cohesiveness of the team is responsible for a lot of the success of a lot of the projects. Mm-hmm. So I see how much that serves somebody to hire based on that.
You know, I think she knows you're highly intelligent, high motivation, high degree of loyalty, and therefore the skills you've picked up, and you've picked up tons of skills, and continue to take on new things, has been easy. I think that's what she saw in you. So J-Bone, how about you? What was your takeaway?
I think that like a huge benefit to our group is that the scope of our roles kind of is always fluid and moving and changing.
Yeah.
And that was even before all this happened. And so we were able to kind of navigate through that already. And then, so then it's just been amplified with all this. But I think it's, probably one of the harder things has been, the mental health aspect of mm-hmm. all of this. So I think the one-on-ones really help a lot. And that is a really great idea that, that Kelsey started. I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
So,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I got a one-on-one later today, 4 o'clock. Kelsey.
That's right.
I love what Amy said about the, she's hiring who you are, not what you know. One thing behind the scenes that Kelsey does too is regularly ask or voice, where are we as individuals best suited now that we're in the business?
Yeah.
So as opposed to, you're in and you have a specific job, to Jeremy's point, there's this morphing, but also with this constant consideration is, how are we leveraging our inherent desires and strengths and talents? And I think other business owners just will say, or leaders will say, you know what, that person's just not a fit for the role. We can't sustain with that person. Kelsey says, where can we find better and better fits for a person? So I think that's extraordinary. Something I've just observed in her way she manages. So we also want to know what you learned from this episode. Post that in the show notes, or not the show notes, because you don't have show notes. Post it in the review on whatever podcast you listen, and make sure you subscribe. J-Bone, you got a little Q&A for us?
Yeah, I do. A little game. Yeah, I just want to add too, I think one of the reasons why you know, we do so well as a group is because we all know the bigger picture. We all know the mission of the company, and you know, we all have a vested interest in this. And I think it's so important for people to understand that in order to be committed to the their job. So that's just my opinion.
Love it.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So game.
Let me see. I got a game.
You got a game?
Yeah. So someone.
Are you throwing a grenade right now?
Yeah, that's exactly. This is like a grenade right here.
Here's a grenade. No, well, if anyone's watching the video, while we were live, we had a guest come on. There was a miscommunication. We didn't hear from the guest. Who that guest most looked like? First impression. Kelsey. Amy.
I don't know.
Prince. I swear to God. Kelsey, did you see Kelsey just nod and do a fake sip of coffee? That's acknowledgement. She goes, her eyes go like this. She looks down and goes, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. So in the first impression, it was Majid, by the way. When Majid came on for just a second, I was like,
Majid.
Prince is alive? Like, for a second.
He's alive!
For a second. It was like all the stories, like Elvis is still alive, like all those stories, like that could be true. I thought it was Prince. That was my game.
Yeah, that was very distracting, by the way.
I
was so scared.
In a chat, I said, I know it's distracting, I threw everyone off. I said, hey, we emailed you. We didn't hear from you. We need to shift times. And then, like a schmo, because I don't know if he saw that message, I deleted him from the connection and then blocked out the connection. Oh. It's totally not how you treat guests.
He didn't get my email, I guess.
We're in the middle of the show. The thing has to roll, and whatever, it has to roll on.
That's like when we did the live calls and you were just hanging up on people mid-sentence. Drop them.
It's funny because I like thought like I should get rid of him, and I was like, no, I don't know, like maybe we'll want to like start maybe this episode and start the new one.
I didn't know either, and I didn't know what to do.
No, I just deleted him and called him Prince. Like, I am such a jackass. All right, Jeremy, what'd you get?
All right, so do you want to pick one or two for the game? I got two left.
Amy, your choice.
Two.
Okay, here we go. So this is another edition of real or fake. Which one's the fake one? So
which one's the fake?
Yeah, which one's the fake?
There you go,
yeah.
Kels. Well done.
All right. that was pretty good, actually.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Which one's the fake?
Okay, so the first one, the Swiss Army iPhone case. Want to be prepared for anything? The iSwiss turns your phone case into a Swiss Army knife. Using the highest grade German steel, we have included all the traditional tools and then some, including bottle opener, can opener, toothpick, knife, screwdriver, and Allen keys. Don't get caught with your pants down. And if you do, fix them with the iSwiss.
That's good. That was good copy.
Yeah,
good
thank copy, you. Right? Thank you. Okay, number two. The basketball trash can. Started in Sweden to encourage litter removal, the basketball trash can is a public trash can that has a basketball attachment to sink that litter deep from in the zone.
That's smart.
The trash can has also been popular, and it has reduced trash on the street by 40%, and also inspired tournaments of trash basketball with random items like bottles and wads of paper.
Bottles?
Yes.
That's dangerous.
Be like Mike.
Maybe counterproductive there?
Well, like plastic bottles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweets not to use glass.
Be like Mike and talk trash while you get rid of it.
Love it.
All right. And finally, the smart measure. Using two sensors that are placed on the fingers, the smart measure can tell you the distance between your two fingers as you move them apart. Now, when you say it's about this big and gesture with your fingers, you will have an actual measurement. Works in metric only because standard measure is just stupid and no one else in the world uses it.
Which is a good point. What is the name of that project? Metric is such a superior system.
Smart measure.
Smart measure.
I kind of like that.
I don't like that.
Could you imagine when I went to my my PRP guy, and if he's like, you know, it serves other things, and he pulls out a smart measure?
Could you imagine if you're trying to hang something on the wall and you just use your fingers?
That would be perfect.
Yeah, just like when you use an actual level and a measuring tape, it came out perfect.
Oh, I didn't realize. Now you're actually trying to hurt my feelings. Because you just did.
Oh, that was pretty good, Kel.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Everything's diagonal. You know the Mad Lab sign we have in our office? I was trying to level it out.
Supposed to be straight.
I was mansplaining to Kelsey. I'm like, give me the drill. You don't know how to do this. I'm like, trying to put it up there. And it was like this. And she goes, I got a solution, Jack Wad. Why don't you just put an angle because you can't do it straight? I'm like, that's what I was planning to do.
That was your solution. Don't give me credit for that.
Oh, was that my solution? I thought it was yours. Yeah. Okay, I'm proud of it.
When it was crooked, and you're like, well, I mean, it could just be crooked. And I was like, yeah, that's way better. Because we had already drilled the hole, so there's no way that we were going to get it.
No, I should let you do the whole thing. I mansplained too much. All right, so what's the fault?
Let me recap. So there's the Swiss Army iPhone case, the basketball trash can, and then the smart measure finger measurement system.
Yeah.
Which one? My guess is smart measure finger. That seems obsolete. That doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's my guess too, Jer.
Okay, I gotta go against you guys. I'm gonna go with the Swiss Army phone, and my reason is because I with travel, getting your phone is such a pain in the ass. And if it's not on your case and it goes to that scanner, they're gonna find a knife in there. Like there's weaponry in there.
But so, if you're like an American survivalist, you don't travel outside of the country. You just need to be like have access to that in the woods and stuff, you know.
Okay, right, sure. If you're a survivalist, but then why would you have a phone in the first place? Don't you just keep opening up? Jeremy, what's the fake item?
You are all wrong again.
Whoa, you did it again.
The fake one is the basketball trash can.
What?
Surprisingly, it is not a real item. Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made that up.
You know the giveaway was Swedes don't play basketball.
No.
Yeah,
no.
And they wouldn't not recycle.
No, I thought that was sure. The beauty of it because Sweden does everything right. So that's why I picked Sweden because I was like, oh, yeah, they would do this. That's something they would do, you know?
Yeah.
But they're not basketball fans. They like tobogganing. Like, that's their big thing.
You're not serious. What do you mean they don't like basketball?
Dude, Swedes are notorious for hating basketball. They're into hockey, anything with ice.
I love our sweeping generalizations. Yeah,
but wait a second. Swedes are
based
Swedes,
on nothing.
Swedes are really tall.
They are notorious.
Yeah.
That's racist. That's right. To say you have to be tall to play basketball, that's racist.
What?
Tightist. It's heightist.
That's heightist. Yeah. Amy's been picked on for her entire life.
All my life. You too, Mike.
It's very sensitive times, to heightism.
Yeah, how many times have you been asked if you play basketball, Amy?
Oh my gosh, so many times.
It's right?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Yep. You?
I'm not tall enough for basketball.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah, you
6'2"?
Are.
What are you, 6'2"?
No, I'm not. I'm 6'1". And I'll tell you, where people do get confused was when I'm at a racetrack and they're like, wow, you're a tall jockey. That's racist.
I bet that happens all the time.
No, I go to racetrack about once every 5 years. So once every 5 years. Because I wear a jockey outfit. Like I have one.
With the diamonds, the purple.
With the diamonds. White. It's always small.
Mike, you should get a Civil War general outfit and then you could do the recreations.
I do want to do a reenactment of Civil War.
That's our next quarterly meeting activity.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
Is a reenactment.
The reenactment. Yeah. There we go.
I gotta find my Civil War outfit.
Yeah. I'm in. I don't know where I put my musket.
I'm in.
Find it.
All right.
Someone's gotta be Molly
Pitcher. Where's my petticoat?
There you go.
All right. We better get out of here. Hey, my dear friends, please leave us a comment and rating on the podcatcher.
And send an email to me, askmike@mikemikalowicz.com. And I want to answer your questions on this episode and maybe structure future episodes around it. But make sure you email me right now, askmike@mikemikalowicz.com. Check us out on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe there because then you get to see all the craziness going on, plus these weird glasses I just threw on for no reason. And yeah. I know. It's getting too bright in here. And they're indoor sunglasses. And the last thing is go to my website, mikemotorbike.com. Click on the Get the Tools option. We have tons of powerful free resources for you, including the Recession Response Program that's active right now to help small businesses navigate what's going on this year. With that, we wish you well, and goodbye.
Wishing you good times.
Wishing you good times. Yes.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Customers no longer base their loyalty solely on price or product. Instead, they stay loyal due to the experience they have. And their customer experience begins from the very first call they make to your business. Are you still using an answering machine? I hope not. Did you know that 85% of callers who only reach voicemail will hang up and call the next place on their list? Don't let that happen to you. Inbound phone calls are still critical to growing your business. Get help from Abby Connect. Abby Connect is no ordinary answering service. They assign your company a team and then train them on how your business works. They set up appointments and consultations. Also, they have a new mobile app that allows you to make calls and send texts from your business phone line. People prefer doing business with people, not machines. Abby Connect can start answering your calls today, improving your customer experience while saving you time and money. It's easy to get started. Get a 14-day free trial with no setup fees and no credit card needed by signing up at abbyconnect.com/MikeM. That's abbyconnect.com/MikeM or call 833-ABBY-WOW and say my name.